Would you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9? When our brother quoted the Mount of Transfiguration in his prayer, I thought, he's rolling my sermon. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid, and they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. It's a wonderful occasion for people to experience the glory of God and to know God in his power. And these three disciples have been given a great experience. These three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were known for the opportunities that they had to see God at work. But it's only about three times. And all of the times that they were with the Lord Jesus, seeing him at work, was related to death. There was the raising of Jairus' daughter. That was in chapter 8 of Luke. And then Matthew and also Mark. There is the transfiguration, which we have just read just now. And there's the Garden of Gethsemane. And all of these relate to how the Lord has power over these elements, over death itself. He has power to raise the dead. He has power over death. This young woman had died. The doctors had approved, had said that she was dead. The family accepted that she was dead. Everybody was assured that this young woman had died. In fact, they said to Jairus, they said, "Don't bother the master because she's dead." The Lord Jesus chased them out the room. Get rid of them. Because the Lord is about to do a work. And it's so important that we get rid of all the things to stop the Lord, that would stop the Lord doing the work. This is what takes place. The Lord said to this young woman, "Arise." And she arose. And these disciples were made aware that the Lord Jesus Christ had power over the enemy of death. And here was the Lord at the Transfiguration. And it speaks about the Lord being glorified in his death. Because there was Elijah and there was Moses. And they were talking about what he would accomplish at Jerusalem. This was not the death of a martyr. This was not the death of somebody that was struggling. He was accomplishing something in Jerusalem. And that's what we Christians remind ourselves about, that the cross was not a place of defeat. It was a place of victory. We remember on the third day Jesus rose again from the dead. He is a victor. But also in Gethsemane, where the Lord surrendered to death. He said, "Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what you will." He was a person who surrendered to death. You know, when that was revealed, these plain fishermen changed. They changed from being people that were fearful to be bold and courageous, because they had accepted this message from God. They found it to be absolutely true. We see what had taken place. It says, they saw two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Jesus said, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put three shelters." And it says, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. These two men had been in a place where they had accomplished much for the Lord. Moses had given the law. He was one that took the children of Israel out of bondage and given them freedom. He was a great leader. He had mountaintop experiences, something to be proud of, something to look at and celebrate. We also think of Elijah and Mount Carmel, when he confronted these prophets of Baal, and he said to them, "Look, who's going to be the prophet? Who's the true God? Is it the Baal, or is it God of heaven?" And fire came down from heaven and consumed the Lord's offering. They had their mountaintop experiences, but when it came to the end, it said they left and they saw no one but Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished more than what these men had ever done. He fulfilled both from the law, from the prophets. Elijah was a great prophet, one of the chief prophets of the Old Testament, and he accomplished so many things. But he was superior to them all. Our brother was saying that Peter said, "It is good for us to be here. Let us build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And the gospel record says he did not know what he was saying. And that was absolutely true, because there's no one that can compare with Christ. But in our modern world, we have people that were wanting to build booths and equate Jesus with every other person that there is. You have Joseph Smith. You have people throughout the world with different religions. And the kind of secular man and woman, as we know, say to us, "Well, what's the difference? Let them all be the same. There is nothing, no difference between them all." And Peter was just voicing the many things that people have said throughout the centuries. Let's just build booths for every single leader that we've got. And the voice comes down and says, that's not true. While he was speaking, as he was saying these very words, a voice came from heaven and said three things. This was God. This was better than what Peter's confession to Christ, "Whom do men say that I am?" This was the answer, God's answer. God says, "This is my Son." What does it also say? "Whom I have chosen." Everybody else is nothing in comparison to Christ. He's God himself. And the third thing he says was, listen to him. when God speaks, everybody should be silent. How often is it, if you've ever been in a crowd of people, when somebody begins to pray, there's a silence until the Amen comes? But how often is it when you're in a group of people and somebody reads the Bible, reads God's Word, that people just carry on talking? As if somebody's reading a newspaper. There is a big difference from listening, from us speaking to God, and God speaking to us. We should listen to Him. Everybody else we listen to, but God is the person who is ultimately the person we should listen to. The church should listen to God. The world should listen to God. The politicians should listen to God. Especially God's people. How often is it that that's the last thing you do? You listen to God. Listen to Him. You know, this was a wonderful experience, because when the Lord Jesus Christ came here upon earth, He veiled His glory. We are told in Philippians that although He was equal with God, He did not think equality with God was something to be going for. But He chose the form of a servant. And the reason what we have in here is a picture of the glory that God has always. And this He took aside at the incarnation. He veiled it and became a man, that He might become obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the reason why He did that was because for you and for me, you have to be saved. And the only way that that could be is if He became a man and He died on the cross. But this was God's glory. This was who He was. And oftentimes we think of Jesus, the man, and we forget that He's God. And this is the picture that we have here in this particular passage. And it says, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. When everything was done, when the cloud had gone, when the two witnesses had gone, when the voice had gone and the cloud had gone, who was left? Jesus on His own. And when it comes down to it, brothers and sisters, when everything else is left, when the church, when believers, when everything is taken away, what else have we got but Jesus? There's nothing else. He is our Saviour. He is our friend. He is our shepherd. Everything else is supplementary than to Christ. And I'm sure that every single one of you, in your own individual experiences in life, can say Amen to that. When the going gets tough, you find that Jesus on His own is there with you. And He knows what it's like. He's there on His own. The disciples kept this to themselves. How often is that, like Peter, James and John, when we go through things in life and the voices have stopped and all the images have been there, we keep these things to ourselves because of the experience that God has done for us. And we thank God for His closeness. Amen. Our Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that You care for us. And we thank You that we depend upon You alone. As we remember what You've done for us, in our own individual lives, we give you thanks. We think of that little poem when we talk about the footprints. And when we are carried, it's Jesus on his own carrying us. And how often is it in life's problems and journeys, we know that you alone are there. When sometimes we feel no one understands, we know you understand. When we feel so much grieved and hurt in our hearts, we know that you alone are there. And we give you thanks for your love, for your kindness, for your mercy. And we pray that we might shine for you in this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.